My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and you're now listening to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. I'm your host for today's program. This program, The More Abundant Life, features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today we have message number 295 in our series. It's a message on the Good Samaritan. It's a thought-provoking one, I'm going to warn you right up front. So be prepared to think a little bit and maybe to even be ruffled a little bit by the message that Pastor Phipps presents today. But it's all for our good. It's all to make us better persons. So sit back and relax and enjoy a program today, a program here on The More Abundant Life. Before we get into the message for today, here is music entitled Forever Yours by Wintley Phipps.
In my quiet place, I still see your face, and I hear your voice down in my soul. Lord, I make this vow, and I pray somehow that you will believe me when I say that I'm forever yours, forever yours. I give my life completely. You're mine, and I am forever, forever yours, forever yours. I keep your face before me. You're mine, and I am
straight from your side. I pray you'll wipe my tears away. Ooh, and if we must part, keep this word in your heart till we meet again. I'll always be forever yours, forever yours. I give my life completely. You're mine, and I am forever.
You're mine, and I am forever.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps, a song entitled Forever Yours, and it's from the CD release entitled The Power of a Dream. And that song, he does a duet with Lisa Robinson. Now here is the message that has been prepared for us for today. Let's join Pastor Phipps in the sanctuary where he has already begun to speak.
It was another day of service and devotion in the life of Jesus when a certain lawyer, an avid student of the laws and ordinances, approached Jesus with a difficult doctrinal question. This lawyer had not come in search of light or wisdom. Rather, he was sent to Jesus by the theologians of his day to put the theology of Jesus to the test. All throughout Israel, in the rabbinical schools and seminaries of his day, the teachings of Jesus had become the subject of close and careful scrutiny. Among the scribes and Pharisees, troubling doubts had been raised concerning the orthodoxy of the theology of Jesus. Now, this young lawyer who approached Jesus in reality had been sent to Jesus by the rabbis. They sent him to Jesus because this young lawyer possessed a brilliant and incisive mind. He had a keen and shrewd intellect. Now, it was possible that he was sincere in his search for truth. But the way Luke records it, his words cast doubt on his own forthrightness. Because of his line and method of questioning, Luke seems to suggest that this young attorney had an ulterior motive, a hidden agenda. According to Luke, this young man was seeking to tempt and trap Jesus in a point of church teaching, dogma, and theology. He didn't know who he was dealing with. The question he raised with Jesus is a question of doctrine still contested and debated by Bible scholars from many denominations. It is a fundamental question of our faith. It speaks to our understanding of how you gain heaven. It is a question that often draws sincere Christians into argument, dispute, and controversy. Church, stay away from people who can only discuss the Bible in a spirit of argument and debate. I've never met a sin-sick soul who was converted while someone was quarreling with them over scripture. Amen? Nothing is gained when Christians feud over the word of God. I've never seen anyone come to Christ while they listen to truth presented in a combative and contentious spirit. I've never seen a sin-hardened heart broken and convicted in the midst of squabbling and bickering. Master, he said, what can I do, tell me, to inherit eternal life? You know, the Jewish rabbis had a method of dealing with contentious people. One young rabbi, realizing that, turned to an older rabbi one day and said, "Why do you rabbis always answer a question with a question?" And the older rabbi said, "Why shouldn't we?" "Master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, saying, "What have you found?" Jesus was awesome. How do you understand it? This young, clever attorney, trying to embroil Jesus in a doctrinal debate, trying to entangle him in some damaging controversy, found himself intellectually on the ropes, fighting for his honor. You can't tangle intellectually with Jesus. Jesus refused to quarrel with malicious and treacherous people. In Desire of Ages, page 171, listen to what the servant of God says. She says that Christ never met argument with argument. Instead, she says, Christ taught us to deal with Christians, and he taught us how to deal with Christians who are miserable, and we got some miserable Christians and contentious and combative, and you make one slip up and they will bring you a ream of scripture. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus taught us that what you do with those kind of people is you answer their questions with another question. So when they come to you saying, what's the truth about this doctrine? You answer them by saying, brother, what have you read? How do you understand it? What does it mean to you? Have mercy. Some people think that fussing with people over scripture gives them favor with God. I tell people in a minute, if you're going to argue about the Bible with me, you're going to have to argue by yourself. I'm not going to argue with you. Amen? If the gospel depended on arguments to recommend its power and belief, all it would take would be facts and cold logic to triumph over love. Young man, said Jesus, how do you see it? What do you understand the scriptures to say? They say to me that that we must love the Lord our God with all our hearts and with all our strength, with all our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. That's right, said Jesus. So you go and do that. Go and do that and you shall live. Case closed. Without saying it fully, Jesus was declaring, brothers and sisters, that a man's destiny, hear me carefully, is in part determined by his obedience. Huh? You go, are you with me? And do. But Jesus also wanted us to know that obedience to the law of 10 commandments won't save you. But disobedience to the 10 commandments will cause you to be lost. Do you get that today? Obedience to the 10 commandments is not what saves you. Faith in Christ and his death on Calvary is what saves you. To the young lawyer, this debate seemed over before it had begun. Jesus had slipped out of his academic snare. The lawyer sought to draw Jesus into another controversy. In other words, Jesus had slipped out of that first one, so he decided he would try to embroil him in another one. Master, he said, I'm not finished. You said I'm to love my neighbor as myself. Who is my neighbor? Boy, that young man should have just kept his mouth closed and gone home. Jesus said, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among robbers. They beat him, stripped him of his clothes, left him for dead. A priest happened to go by. When he saw the man half dead, he glanced at him, passed, went over on the other side. A Levite, an intern, an assistant in the temple also came along. He stopped, went over to investigate the situation, bent over this stranger battling for his life. The Levite's heart began to swell with the conviction that he ought to help. But as the Levite stood there over this tragic and pitiful scene, he began to wish to himself that, oh, why did I take this road? Why did I come this way? If I hadn't taken this road, I wouldn't have to see this and deal with this difficult decision. Finally told himself, you know, it's none of my business. This man is as good as dead anyway. Servant of God says, listen to this, that it was God who sent the priest and the Levite by. God sent them by to help this man But little did they know that all of heaven was watching to see what they were going to do. Be careful when God sends people to you for your assistance. Be careful you entertain angels unawares. Be careful when God sends someone by to ask for your help. It appears that the man was so badly beaten, church, that even his features were unrecognizable, so that the priest nor the Levite could tell whether he was a Samaritan or a Jew. And because they weren't sure, they turned aside. They might have been willing to assist one of their own race and one of their own religion. But he had been stripped. He had been beaten. They couldn't make out whether he was a Jew or what he was. And so they kept on stepping. It wasn't long, said Jesus, before a certain nameless Samaritan came passing that way. He held no regard for his own safety. Somebody needed his help. And that's all he knew. That's amen. That was all that mattered. The race of the man didn't matter. Thank you, Jesus. The religion didn't matter. His politics didn't matter. He was a victim. It was his belief, it was this Samaritan's belief, that kindness should never be determined by another person's religion, creed, race, or doctrine. It was his belief that kindness should never be rationed by how somebody looks to you, or what they wear, or their ethnicity. He believed that suffering humanity needed his compassion. And that Samaritan, said Jesus, took off his own garment, covered the helpless victim, took oil and wine, carried him, prepared it as a balm, poured it into his wounds, then lifted the man, placed him on his own beast. Have mercy, Jesus. Made his way slowly down the road so that no greater trauma would come to this man's wounds. Carried him to an inn. And there the servant of the Lord said, he stayed up all night long, watching, nursing, tenderly over this stranger he had never met before. What compassion. When the morning came, because the wounded man had improved considerably, the Samaritan placed him in the care of the innkeeper. He paid the charges, left a deposit, promissory note, gave his good word of good faith and credit for the man's future care. Said to the innkeeper, take care of him. Whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. Amen. Translated in contemporary terms, in today's language, the good Samaritan was saying to the innkeeper, here, take an imprint of my American Express card. And whatever you spend, I will personally take care of it. You know, the Good Samaritan church wasn't concerned about what kind of bill this man would run up. He wasn't worried. Are you with me today? Yes. Wasn't worried about the cost of the food or his medicines. He didn't do like people do today. When I travel, and I travel for all different kinds of groups, and often they're so willing to be hospitable, these people who bring me different places. But they always do, and it's customary. The hotel clerks always say, sir, we're so glad to have you staying at our hotel today. Your room is taken care of by your host, but we're going to need a credit card from you for your meals and incidentals. You didn't hear what I said. Sir, we can't even turn your phone on if you don't have credit of your own. The Good Samaritan wasn't concerned about the long-distance charges or the length of the stay. He just said to the innkeeper, help him get better, and whatever you spend, I'll take care of it. Somebody here is saying, oh, Lord, give me that kind of faith. Yeah. Now a young man said, Jesus, which of these three men, my Jesus was awesome, which of these men proved to be a friend and a neighbor to that man? Why, the one who showed him pity and mercy and compassion, said the lawyer. And again, Jesus said to him, you go and do the same. My Jesus was awesome. Christ was simple. He was direct. And for all time, he answered that question, who shall I treat as my neighbor? Who shall I treat as my friend? Now, in this biblical narrative, I'm going to teach a little bit. Is that all right? Jesus taught us that regardless of color, race, or denomination, your neighbor is anybody who needs your help. Wherever you can be a blessing, that's your neighborhood. And whomever you can be a blessing to, that's your neighbor. Proverbs 14, 20, 21. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. Proverbs 14, 20, 21 says, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor. Have mercy. Rich people still get treated better. Amen. Bible, Proverbs 14, 20, 21 says, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich, what does it say? Hath many friends. And he that despiseth his neighbor does what? Sins. God says, if you despise your neighbor, you are a sinner and you sin. Have mercy, Lord. And he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Because let me tell you, in the time of calamity, when your house is on fire, the Bible says, better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far away. Amen. When your house is on fire, a poor man with water is, amen, is means a lot more to you than a rich man far away. This morning I share with you, I want to point out to you that our Lord Jesus Christ did something wonderful in this story. He hid himself in this story. My Jesus. He was trying to tell that young lawyer about himself. And he hid himself in the story. Not as the scribe or the priest, not as the innkeeper, not only as the one who was beaten by the side of the road. That's obvious because, you know, Jesus said, as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Don't miss that, because when you help somebody, you're helping Jesus. When you help somebody who's in trouble, you're helping Jesus. Amen. And so Jesus was hidden in the story, but not just was he hidden as the one who was beaten and left by the side of the road, because our Lord was beaten. No. Jesus hid himself in this story. For he was and is our good Samaritan. Amen. I want to ask you something today. Maybe you're saying, who was this Samaritan really? His identity is not known to us. I think because Jesus wanted you to know that he had hidden himself. That we who seek to know Jesus must understand that he is our good Samaritan. He's a friend to the sinner who is in distress. I don't know about you, he's been to me a compassionate friend. Sometimes you're not sure in the clutches who'll be there with you, brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's hard to know who'll be with you in the swelling of the Jordan. Sometimes it's hard to know who will stoop down to serve you and care for you and comfort you when you're lying broken on life's Jericho road. Sometimes you've been abandoned and deserted and forsaken, and there comes a day for all of us when we will feel like victims along life's Jericho road. Maybe you don't realize it, but there are a lot of hurting people in the world, and in the church they've been ambushed along life's Jericho road. Some of us, against the wisdom of family and friends, are in the problems that we're in because we didn't take good advice. We don't like to hear it, but it's true. We turned off and took a dangerous path. We were warned it would be dangerous, and we ended up like the man on the road to Jericho, bruised and battered and bewildered and broken. You became one of the walking wounded. Life became a nightmare. One wrong turn, church, can take you down a long, hard road. You didn't hear what I said. One wrong turn can change your life forever, take you down a long road of pain and misery and woe. One wrong turn can take you down a road where men and evil angels are waiting for you to ambush you and destroy you. It's hard to know who to trust when you're on life's Jericho road. And in case you haven't found out, friends will mislead you on life's Jericho road. They will leave you. Family will leave you, will betray you. Companions will deceive you. Close associates will abandon you on life's Jericho road. Believe me, without the Lord, you're not gonna make it on Jericho's road. There are too many traps for you out here. Too many snares. When you walk out of your house in the morning, don't walk out without praise on your lips and a prayer in your heart. You are on life's Jericho road, and demons are waiting for you.
But while you were out there on Jericho road, somebody, you began to confess your sins. You cried out, "Lord, I need you." If you're hopeless out there on Jericho Road, I know a good Samaritan who wants to dry your tear-stained eyes. Thank God, he's never walked on by me.
Well, that brings us to the end of the message for today. If you'd like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. And you'll want to ask for program number 295 for today's message. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Wesney Jr. I want to say goodbye now, and remember the words in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."